And I invite you to pray with me and to pray for me. Lord God, take my words this evening and speak through them. Take our hearts this evening and speak to them. Holy Spirit, we welcome your presence on this night and ask you to bring encouragement and conviction to our hearts through your living word, that you will initiate healing and transformation in our lives, all for the glory of your great name, Lord Jesus. Amen. Tonight is Christmas Eve, the eve of Jesus' incarnation. And as I look back on this past year, I find that my gaze stretches back into the previous year, almost two full years marked by this pandemic, 21 months impacted by this virus, at times causing the necessity of isolation for protection. Quarantine, a word once reserved for extreme situations and science fiction movies. It's now a common everyday reality for all of us. Quarantine because of symptoms, quarantine because of illness, or quarantine for protection. Now, that word quarantine literally means restrictions imposed on movements of people. What many have experienced during this pandemic, I think, is more appropriately called medical isolation. I've seen people medically isolated due to either COVID exposure or COVID symptoms and illness, and I've seen people choosing isolation from others for their own protection. All of this, quarantine and medical isolation and the presence of the virus, has led to my focus this Christmas Eve, the word alone. Alone is a word that encapsulates my remembrance of this past year. Alone is a feeling that, in my view, we've all encountered more often and more regularly in this past year or two than ever before. Now, as I look back on my childhood, alone was a form of punishment. How many of you were reprimanded by parents or caregivers who ordered you to go to your room? Anybody share my, okay, I'm seeing a lot of the older hands going up. It was punishment by separation from the family, removal from family activities, isolation leading to one being alone. I can speak for myself, I didn't like it. Now, unlike today, you were truly alone in your room. There were no TVs for children in their rooms. There were no cell phones. There were no computers. Go to your room meant alone, and that punishment worked on me. I apologized and confessed to many things quickly because I did not like being alone. Not sure what you do now. Come out of your room. It's a different thing now. Our current extended season marked by alone is causing increasing levels of anxiety and depression as this pandemic has increasingly isolated us from direct contact with many of the people we used to directly contact all the time. We are alone by greater isolation, and it's hard to break those habits. But at the same time, we're fooled into thinking we're not really alone because of our phones and social media. We're fooled to think that interactions through those screens and social media will be enough. All the while, our souls wither from reduced in-person interaction and fellowship and relationship. In the Genesis account of creation, everything was declared good or very good, until in chapter 2, verse 18, the Lord declared it was not good for the first human to be alone. It was not good for the man to be alone. It's not good for us to be or remain alone. And alone is a term that's in view in the Christmas season and in the incarnation in many different ways. And it goes much deeper than the popular movie series, home alone. The incarnation, God the Son submitting to enter humanity through Mary's womb. That represents God's ultimate answer to his people and to all of mankind's feelings of being alone. Old Testament scriptures record God promising land, provision, and protection to his people, everything that they would need if they would just remain faithful to him. But over and over again, they failed. Over and over again, they chose their own ways and the world's ways instead of following God's ways. Over and over again, they worshiped created things instead of the Creator, following the values of the world rather than the wisdom of God. And because of their disobedience and sin, they found themselves isolated from their God, exiled from his provision and protection, and they suffered in many respects alone, as they as a nation had never been before. God called through his prophets for his people to return to him. He promised to provide for those who would return to him a Messiah, to redeem them into their land, to deliver them from those that oppressed them. So the people waited for his deliverance. And they cried out, "Where are you, God?" They cried out, "How long will you leave us alone?" The psalmist in Psalm 13 echoed what the people were crying out when he wrote, "How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever?" We've all experienced that kind of isolation from God, feeling that he's forgotten us. The psalmist goes on to say, "How long will you hide your face from me?" God's people, though, they knew God's promises regarding his Messiah. They knew the prophet's words. They watched and waited for the Messiah to arrive, and they waited, and they waited, and they waited, wondering, "How long will we be alone?" Well, God's answer was the incarnation. After hundreds of years of silence from the prophets, his answer blew all of the people's expectations. He didn't just send a man as his Messiah. The people looked for the man who will be the Messiah. God the Father sent God the Son. God himself coming to live as one of us, as the Messiah. In Isaiah 7, previous to our reading from Isaiah 9, God through the prophet declared, "The Lord will give you a sign. The virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name." The Hebrew literally means Emmanuel. It means "with us is God." It's most often translated "God with us," but it means "with us is God." And then in our reading from Isaiah 9, the prophet's declaration of God's promise, "The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light." I'm in need of a great light after this season. It's been a hard season. "To us a child is born, to us a son is given, and his name shall be called." Here, this English translation that we just read, it's missing a comma. Our translation says, "And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor," where that's actually two different titles. His name shall be called Wonderful, which in the Hebrew means miracle. Wonderful Counselor. The Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Jesus' incarnation fulfilled those and all of the other messianic prophecies. God the Son, eternal with the Father and the Spirit, humbly submitting to God's plan, conceived in Mary's womb by the Holy Spirit. As I was preparing for this, I just Googled 3D ultrasound baby. The images that you see are incredible. If you do baby smile, you get a really good one. Imagine God the Son developing in utero, for the first time experiencing helpless dependency and a sense of alone in Mary's womb. Jesus' mother Mary, too, experiencing a sense of alone because of her pregnancy. I imagine she wasn't believed. Jean preached an excellent sermon on Sunday, encapsulating that sense of Mary's rejection in the midst of her pregnancy, perhaps suffering isolation and rejection because of her out-of-wedlock pregnancy, feeling the community's looks of judgment, of disapproval, hearing the talk behind her back, alone. Mary, like God's people, like you and me at different times, feeling abandoned, rejected, alone, and crying out to God, "How long until you reveal your plan?" Well, that was only true until her encounter with Elizabeth, her older cousin, much older cousin, who was pregnant with John the Baptist. We read in that account that when Mary's greeting reached Elizabeth's ears, John, in utero, leapt for joy, and she exclaimed, "Why am I so blessed that the mother of my Lord would come to me?" That was the first time Mary was celebrated for her pregnancy. Now, the first celebration, though, was John in the womb. So how do you leap for joy in utero? I know there's at least one in the sanctuary that knows what that feels like right now. I imagine it involves fist pumps. I imagine it involves a smile. The first celebration, and right there, that's a powerful picture of how the isolation of alone can be shattered by the love in community. Mary's rejection and isolation destroyed by God's love through Elizabeth and through the celebration of the child John in womb. And then think about Christ's birth. The shepherds are in the fields keeping watch. Well, what that most likely meant was most of the shepherds slept by the one, except for the one who drew the short straw. That shepherd was awake, alone in the darkness, when suddenly a multitude of angels appear, thousands or hundreds of thousands, I can't imagine, singing, celebrating, glory to God in the highest, telling the shepherds what had happened, alone shattered by light. Then the shepherds running and gathering around Joseph and Mary and the baby, no longer alone there, community around them celebrating. Those are all pictures of what God's love offers to every one of you. Jesus, the ultimate embodiment of Emmanuel, God with us. Jesus, by his incarnation, shattering the darkness of alone for all who would believe in him, so that through faith, Jesus will always be with you, and you will never be alone again. His Holy Spirit filling you and his community, the church, surrounding you. Tonight we celebrate Jesus. With us is God, Emmanuel. I want you all to hear this afresh tonight, that in Christ, by faith in his name, you will never be alone again. Jesus promised, "I will never leave you or forsake you. I will send the Holy Spirit to be with you forever, the Spirit of truth." In Christ and by his community, you will never be alone. Filled with the presence of his Holy Spirit, he will be with you, will forever be in you, giving you the new life that he promised as you live in this world, and then hope for a larger life beyond the grave. the reality of Jesus as Emmanuel, God with us, that will weaken the tentacles of alone in your life, providing a way of spiritual escape that's not available in this world. Shattering and destroying alone as God is with his people. But here it's crucial to remember that Emmanuel does not mean God with me. That would be an entirely different Hebrew word. Emmanuel, God with us. That's defining our need for community. Community in person, and for those that can't be in person, reaching out through technology to those who are shut in. The reality is that Jesus, as Emmanuel, calls to those who are isolated by choice, beckoning them out of their isolation. Emmanuel rescues his people from the darkness of alone, inviting them into the light and hope that is present in community of faith. The isolation and alone of our current historical situation is toxic to the human soul. People isolated and alone by illness, by fear, by shame, by rejection, by self-centered pursuits, and by despair, among other things. Isolation and alone are toxic darkness to every human soul. Emmanuel, new life by faith in Jesus Christ, that's the only lasting and eternal solution. If you have faith in Jesus, I pray tonight is a reminder to you of your salvation, a reminder to you of your redemption, and is a reason for celebration and praise. Celebrating your redemption from darkness into the eternal kind of life you were created for. If you're here tonight and you once had faith, but now, no, not so much. If you're currently isolated by doubt, or hurt, or disbelief, I pray tonight will remind you of your Savior, Emmanuel, the light shining into your darkness, through which you will never be alone again. And if you're here tonight or watching, and you've never had faith in Jesus, I pray this message reveals to you a new reality of hope and light, and that you are drawn to receive the gift of salvation available only through Jesus Christ, the new life that Emmanuel offers you. Tonight, behold the incarnation, Emmanuel, God with us. Alleluia. 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 Amen.